The reading today will be a letter of Paul to the Ephesians, Ephesians 1, 7 through 10. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth.
Good morning. This week is a special week, if you did not know. I know some of you are already getting ready with your Starbucks IV drip and your tents getting ready for Black Friday, but Black Friday is not why this week is special. This week's special because as a nation, we set aside time on Thursday to give thanks for everything that we have, all the blessings, all the good things that God has given us. And we've taken time as a church this week to do that same thing. So on Wednesday, we'll be gathering together at 7 o'clock for our annual Thanksgiving devotion, where we just spend a few minutes together reflecting on everything that God has done for us over the course of this past year. And tonight is a special night because we are gathering for what we're calling a celebration dinner, where we spend time worshiping together like we do every Sunday night, but also spending time surrounding a table together to laugh and to celebrate and to honor God for everything that God has done for us, and to do that by eating together. There's nothing more spiritual than surrounding a table and eating together. And this morning is a special morning in the life of our church, because today we are coming to the conclusion of our process of appointing deacons. Today we are installing four men to be some of our deacons of this church. And this is important in the life of our congregation together because it's the first time in several years that we have installed new deacons. And as we continue to grow, and as we continue to pursue the mission of God, as we continue to seek the kingdom to come in St. Clairsville, Ohio, this is an increasingly important thing for us. That as we follow Jesus, as we seek to love God, and as we seek to love our neighbor, it's an important step for us as we continue to move forward. But before we do that this morning, we want to take just a few minutes to reflect on the scriptures together. So if you have your Bible, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1, exactly where our scripture reading was. And we'll be picking up in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. And so if you have a Bible, let's turn there. If you need one, there should be one somewhere in a pew around you. Feel free to use that. As we start, I want to ask by asking a question. What's this all about? What are we doing? What's the point of all of this? And I'm not talking just about this deacon process. I'm talking about everything. Why do we gather here? Why do we sing these songs? Why do we listen to these readings from Scripture? Why do we listen to someone talk for 10 or 15 or 20 minutes? Why do we surround a table to partake of bread and the cup together? Why do we serve and why do we give and why do we do all of these things that we do? See, some of us have been at this for as long as we can remember. Some of us were practically born in a church building. Others of us are still relatively new in the faith. We've only been at it for a couple years or maybe a couple months, and we still have that fire inside of us. We still have that passion in our bones that we just can't hold in. And others of us don't even know what we make of all of this. We haven't made any decisions for Jesus. We haven't taken any steps of faith. We're still trying to figure this out and to figure out what it all means. Now, obviously, in the few minutes that we have this morning, we can answer this question definitively. But I do think as we meditate on this scripture, that there are things that can spur our thinking and that can spur our conversation. And so we'll be taking kind of like a 30,000-foot overview, just kind of looking at the big picture. So let's pray as we prepare to read this passage together. Father, we thank you for the grace that you've given us, that we get to be here this morning. Father, we know that there are 1,000 other places that we could be, but you have brought us each here this morning. And Father, we thank you for the decisions that we've made. Father, we thank you for the blessings that you've given us to draw us here. And Father, we pray as we celebrate this morning, as we celebrate this week, that you would be with us, and that as we take a few moments to reflect on your word this morning, God, we pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts, that we might see you, that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and of understanding in Jesus. And Father, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes this. It says, "For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and of your love toward all of the saints, I don't cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." See, Ephesians 1 is a prayer of thanksgiving, but it's not a prayer of thanksgiving for turkey and football. It's a prayer of thanksgiving for the foundational theology of our world. It's a prayer of thanks for the deep spiritual realities of our world. It's a prayer of thanks for an active faith that gets worked out in daily life, an act of faith that is rooted in Jesus. So we ask that question, what's it all about? And we're going to answer that question this morning, because I think if we look close enough, Ephesians 1 tells us. And I say that kind of jokingly, because obviously people have been asking this question for generations and for ages, and we can't answer it in just a few minutes. But I also kind of mean it, because I think that's exactly what Paul does for us. He tells us what it's all about. And so, as we reflect this morning, here are a few truths that we see in this text. First of all, we see that faith is in Jesus. Paul offers this prayer of thanks, and it's a prayer of thanks that they are a model of faith, that they are a model of love, and it's a faith that Paul says is rooted and grounded in Jesus. Now, that might not seem all that significant, but it really is significant, because our faith is not in an idea. Our faith is not in a system. Our faith is not in a philosophy. Our faith is not in a moral code. Our faith isn't in a country, it's not in a leader, it's not even in a book. Our faith is in Jesus. Jesus, who was a real person, who really lived, who really taught. Jesus, who really died. And Jesus, who was really resurrected. Jesus, who taught us to love our enemies. Jesus, who taught us to forgive those who wrong us. Jesus, who taught us and who showed us what it means to love God with everything that we are and to love our neighbor as ourselves. This Jesus who showed us by his very life what it means to live dedicated to justice and mercy and faithfulness. This is our faith. Our faith is in Jesus and nothing else. It also tells us that our inheritance is in Jesus. We spend a lot of time worrying about things that ultimately don't matter. We put in a lot of energy stressing out about trinkets and toys that will one day end up in a garbage heap or a scrapyard. But Paul says here that we are given an inheritance, a glorious inheritance that's in Jesus that will never fade, that will never fall away, that is worth more than anything this world has to offer us. We are promised a life with God that lasts throughout all of the ages. And it's a life that cannot be shaken. It's a life that cannot be taken away from us. It's a life that is solid and secure because it's a life, an inheritance that's in Jesus. This text also tells us some about this Jesus, and it tells us this Jesus has been raised from the dead. And if you've been in church for a while, that's probably old news. You probably have heard that 1,000 times or more. But it is still earth-shattering news that Jesus was dead, but he is now alive, that he wasn't just resuscitated, but that Jesus was resurrected. There have been people in the scriptures and people since whose hearts have stopped beating, whose lungs have stopped breathing, whose hearts start beating again, and whose lungs start breathing again. But all of those who have been resuscitated will one day die again. But not Jesus. Jesus died, and then he was raised back to life. He was raised back to a life that conquers death. And what that means for us is that death does not have the last word. That means that life is victorious over death. It means that love is victorious over sin and destruction. And it also means that this Jesus is now reigning supreme over all things. Paul says in this text that Jesus is reigning far above all rule and authority, above all power and dominion. He is reigning above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also throughout all eternity in the age to come. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is sovereign. Jesus is supreme. He is the King over all of the cosmos. And so think for a second about what we've said so far. We said that Jesus is our faith. We said that Jesus is on our inheritance. And this same Jesus in whom we place our faith and in whom we have our inheritance has been raised from the dead, who reigns supreme, conquering death. And this same Jesus in whom we place our faith and in whom we place our trust is reigning over all of the cosmos. And that means what we do here is more than just platitudes, and it's more than just self-help. And it's more than just being a nice person. It means that what we do here, when we gather together, and what we do when we are sent out, has real power to it. It has real grit. It has real teeth. But it doesn't stop there. It also tells us that this Jesus works through us. That God uses the same power that he used to raise Jesus over death and the tomb. And the same power that established Jesus as Lord over all of the cosmos is the same power that's at work in us. Verses 19 and 20 says, this overwhelming greatness of God's power is working among us believers. This power is conferred by the energy of God's powerful strength. God's power was at work in Christ when God raised him from the dead and sat him at God's right side in the heavens. This is the power that energizes us. It's what drives us. It's what pushes us. It's what empowers us. This power means that when we love our neighbor, we're not just doing it in our own strength. This power means that when we give a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus, there is power there. And it means that when we give a casserole in the name of Jesus, there is new power there. And that when we give a plate of cookies, or when we open up our dinner table, there is new power there. It means that every act of hospitality and every act of service and every act of love has new power behind it, the resurrection power of Jesus. That God is working in us the power of Jesus' resurrection. And then this text says what's most scandalous of all. It says that we are the body of Jesus. That together as the church, we are filled with all of the fullness of Christ. That means not just the Church of Christ in St. Clairsville, but the church that extends throughout all time and in all places is the body of Christ. But it also means that we in St. Clairsville are the body of Christ. And that means when we gather here, we are not gathering alone. And that means when we are sent out from here, we are not just sent back to our homes until we can come back here again. There is something that happens. That when we come together with all of our individual brokenness, and when we are sent out into the world with all of our individual brokenness, that we collectively become the physical representation of Jesus in the world. We become the body of Christ. And that means we are empowered to live the way Jesus lived, to pursue the things that Jesus pursued. And Paul told us in verse 10 that this is what God planned for the climax of all times, to bring all things together in Christ, the things in heaven along with the things on earth. This was God's purpose in Jesus. And so this becomes our purpose, the uniting of all things, the reconciliation of all things together in Jesus. That's what this is all about, what the songs are about and the prayers are about. And the mission is about. That's what the table is about. That's what these messages and these readings are all about. That's what we are all about. The uniting together of all things in Jesus. This holistic vision of the kingdom of God coming to bear in St. Clairsville, Ohio, in the Ohio Valley. And that's what this deacon thing is all about. It's not about a formality. It's not about a ritual. It's not about a title. It's not about an office. It is about this mission of God, the purpose of Jesus Christ at work among us. And so with that, we'll hand it over to our shepherds as we look forward to our new deacons together.
We would like to ask at this time that Darren Clark and Doug Fry, Jamie Judge, and Tim McKean come forward. Be seated on the front seat if you would. Sit over here on Denny's side if you want to. Skip would be happy to be up here with us, but his knees are still mending. Everything we've talked about, we've went over with Skip, and he amened everything, but his heart's up here with the rest of us. I wanted you guys to know that. In Acts, the sixth chapter, the early church was told to look out among themselves and choose men to serve them. We have followed that example. And out of that process, these men's names were submitted to us, that we put before you for consideration of serving you as a deacon. The qualifications is 1 Timothy 3, verses 8 through 13. We have went over several times from the pulpit and Bible classes, and with these men in a class. They have met those qualifications. There was not one scriptural objection or one concern expressed on behalf of these men. So today we want to officially ask them to be a part of the deaconship and serving the congregation here. As Brad said, this is a stepping stone for us. It's a good day, and there's more to come. Our church is growing. We're considering building, and these men will be a vital part of that whole process as we continue to grow. I have a question I want to ask these men at this time. I'd like for you to stand, if you would. Having been chosen by this congregation, and meeting the qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13, do you before God and his church agree to serve them faithfully as a deacon for the purpose of glorifying God? If you do, say together, I do. I'd like to ask the congregation something because you were the ones who submitted their names, and you have a response as well. Do you as a congregation agree to allow these men to serve you as a deacon? If so, together say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let it be known from this day forward that you will be served as our deacons. We're going to have Denny as follow the example in the New Testament where the apostles come. We're not apostles, but we're elders. They had a prayer, and then they showed the congregation by laying their hands on them. We're going to shake your hands to let the congregation know that you will be our deacons. But before I do that, I have a word that I want to say to your wives, to Kim, to Jody, to Leslie, and to Lindsay. You are a big part of our family here. There'll be times when these men will come home and they'll seem at a distance. It's because they're thinking about things on a spiritual nature. It'll be during those times that they need you. You are the rock. You will encourage them. You will help them to keep on keeping on. Because their task will not be easy. They'll wonder as they work among benevolent people if they made the right decision. They'll wonder if they work among the people here, have they done the right thing. It'll be during those times that they may seem distant, but you're really reflecting on spiritual matters. Be encouragement to them and love them and continue supporting them. We thank you that you also have met those qualifications in 1 Timothy 3 as their wives. At this time, I'd like to ask Denny to come forward and have a prayer.
Let's pray together. Dear Father, we just thank you so much this morning for the way that you blessed us. We thank you for the whole body here and for every single member, every single person, what they mean to you and what they mean to the body as a whole. Father, we just thank you for the way that you blessed us so abundantly in this past year. Blessings, Father, that are really too numerous to even count. Father, we thank you for all those that serve you here, all the servants that, as we strive to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and to serve as he served. Father, there just are so many that do so much for the body here in so many different ways, a lot of times behind the scenes, but our preachers, our teachers, our shepherds, our deacons, all those that serve you, Father, in any way, shape, or form, we just thank you so much for that. Father, we especially thank you now for Darren and for Doug and for Jamie and for Tim. We thank you for their wives and their families and all the support. We thank you for all our deacons. And Father, we just pray that as we begin a new day in the life of the body here, that you would be with the four men and all the other deacons that we are installing this morning, that you would give them the knowledge and wisdom that they need to do your will. Even, Father, at times when it's not going to be easy, but we can do it through you. Guide them and their families, bless them, encourage them, and just help them to do everything they possibly can to serve you to the best of their ability. Father, be with us shepherds as we work together with the deacons and the body. And we thank you so much, Father, for the unity that we have and for the love and the bond of peace that we have in Christ. Help that to continue to grow. But Father, just give us all the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding, the love that we need to serve you every single day. So that when others, Father, look at us, they will see Jesus in our lives and want to be a part of what we have as your body. Again, Father, we just ask you for your blessing upon the whole body together, and especially now on Darren and Doug and Jamie and Tim and their families, and all of us as we go forth together to serve you. Father, you have blessed us so much. Help us to be a blessing to those around us. Thank you again for your love and all that you do for us. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The last verse of the qualifications ends up by saying, "For those who do well as special servants are making an honorable place for themselves, and they will feel very sure of their faith in Christ Jesus. We commend you to the work of the church here as deacons now. You may take your seats with your wives, and we'll turn it back over to Brad at this time.
So this is a special day for us. It's a special day for the church in St. Clairsville, but not just because of our deacons. Not just because of dinners that we're having, not just because of devotionals or anything like that. This is a special day because it's a day where we can come together in the name of Jesus. Because ultimately, as much as we're about mission, as much as we are about loving God, as much as we are about loving our neighbors, this is about Jesus. It's not about any of our men who are now deacons. It's not about any of our ministers. It's not about any of our shepherds. It's not about any of us. It is about Jesus. And as we gather together every week, we always extend an invitation. Because it's about Jesus, we want you to have a chance to respond to the call of Jesus. And this morning, you might be here needing to respond to that call. Maybe you've never committed your life to Jesus. Maybe you've never received that grace that comes by being united together with him in the waters of baptism. Or maybe you've strayed and you're ready to come back. Or maybe you're just struggling and you need the prayers. As we come together as the body of Christ, we can pray for you. This morning, if you need to respond, would you come and talk to me as we all stand and as we